Ja, hier sind wir wieder. That's us again from the Chaos Communication Congress 2007. Here sits now, welcome, Mario Billing.
Hello, yeah.
Nice. And you are attending the Congress since day one, or?
Yes, I'm here since day one, and I think it's my fourth or fifth Congress. I don't even remember. I had like 2 years off because I was abroad.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's exciting to be here again.
Maybe the first thing, what changed compared to the years before?
What changed? I think the outside changed a lot.
Yeah.
We have outside. We have a new building here, the Alexa Shopping Center, kind of, I don't know, cheap shopping center. And
commercial temple to pray to the god of money.
Yeah. And it's crazy what's going on in Berlin. And we have the Alexander Square here. The Alexanderplatz is the central square, and they seem to build buildings on the square now. So that's it. And inside here, well, I think not so many things have changed. People are here that I know from before. Roger Dingeldine from Tor.
So to say, business as usual.
Yeah, I think so. Business is as usual. A few more women are here.
That's good to see. There's a trend. More girls are attending geeky places and geeky topics, which is very good.
It's a
And one thing new to me is these little green things around here everywhere.
Yes.
And the so-called OLPC. We will have OLPC talk with one of the Austrian guys in a couple of minutes.
I actually did an interview on the OLPC last year.
Yeah.
It was a kind of different version. They grew a bit in size, it seems. And nice things to play around with. I actually bought the EEE PC.
What is the EEE? It's a triple E PC. I think it's form factor, same size of the old PC, a little smaller. Looks like a cute machine.
It's an Asus. I've seen it 1 week before in Leipzig in a computer shop.
Okay, really? Well, I heard they are only coming out on 10th of January here, but the Leipzig seems to be a bit ahead, yeah?
Yeah, computer shop, the first exemplars of the things are getting around. Like
so presentation
one
models.
Laptop per child PCs, so we also see it here.
And, I bought this one in China. I was lucky to go to China. I was in Asia for an EU project, which is called Fosbridge. And so I went to China, I bought it there. My Chinese friend always said, like, well, you can get bigger one for same price. Well, China, you know, they have cheap computers. But I said, well, you know, that it's crazy because it's so small and so cheap. Actually, the smaller things are more expensive. And this one was 300 euros, also in China. And I think it's targeting a different group than what is like the old PC target.
So what do you think is the target audience for such a machine? Because to summarize, it is cheap. It has a fair enough hardware. It has camera. It has touchpad. It has no disc. There are no movable devices inside. But that's all the same as the old PC so far.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
The difference is, for instance, here this VGA plug. Yeah. You can actually plug it in and have presentations. And that comes handy.
So it's more like a business thing.
The design of the software it's a Xandros Linux. It seems a little bit like for children as well. But for me, it's perfectly fine to do presentations with this thing. It has also Ethernet.
Yeah. Which is very good.
Yeah, the old PC doesn't have that. Wireless LAN, the old PC also has it. And
but the old PC comes with a self-made mesh protocol thingy, which gives the old PC in my eyes a big advantage, because once they're at least two machines, old PC, near each other, they can network out of the box, which is something I find very interesting, very funny, and very good to have the meshing network approach just given to children and let them see and learn that those devices can communicate direct to each other with no hierarchy inside. You need no access point, you need no central machine. You can communicate on a meshing level directly with each other. And that gives, for my eyes, a technological and as well a meta advantage in meaning to the old PC.
Yeah. Well, I would actually know. It's a fascinating thing, and I would like to know: is it stable? How well does a mesh work? How well is the exchange? I would like to read more about it. Both of us, we were talking yesterday about putting OLSR, which is a protocol for FriPhone, yeah, the free wireless community that we have here in Europe. I'd love to see a way that we can have the protocol on here and a button, yeah, to implement FriPhone.
Start mesh.
Start mesh, something,
yeah,
like that.
Mario was approaching me yesterday with hey, Klausi, listen, I have there's I would need, or we would need, or it would be great to have a little button like this button blue with a big S on, which everybody knows and most of the people use. Just click and use, and then you communicate with your friends. And he would like to have a button like this with a big O, or name your favorite letter here.
Freifunk. Yes, of course.
And you click and you get Freifunk mesh networking. And yeah, that might be possible. We have to twiddle a little around with a Xandro system, with a Wi-Fi drivers. It's an Atheros device in there, which has a very unique so far strategy of dealing with hardware, because you have a Wi-Fi device, which is a virtual, or which is the real device, and on top of that Wi-Fi device, you can have up to 8 virtual access points, they call it, and so the handling of this wireless card is a little different to most of the wireless cards on the planet. But I think it would be possible to make a little clicky button. But as we talked together yesterday as well, I see there's an organizational or layer 8, as we tend to say, problem in this, because even if you click on the button, and even if the daemon gets started, your settings are, Wi-Fi settings are fair enough to join the network, there's a social layer, how to get your IP. Yeah. And I'm not sure how, or my direct question to Mario would be, how you think that would be solved?
Well, you know, the solution that we have in Berlin, you can actually go to the website, sign up with a username and get an IP, or yeah, get multiple IPs. Yeah. I know not all the communities all over Europe have the same thing, but I think we can find a way, and we don't have to find the perfect solution right now. We can go step by step, you know.
So what you basically say is that every community has different approaches of handling IP, TCP/IP, all the settings for the mesh. But to leave that to the community as well, or to the participant who wants to participate in the local community, to find out, to communicate with the community, and to take interaction. So that social layer is not solved in technology.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you propose.
The thing is, I want to see. I'm not like, you know, I just saw the problem yesterday. It's a very easy device to handle.
Yeah.
You can just click, you know, you can have Skype, you can have all the things, you can communicate, Open Office, Thunderbird, everything you have.
Yeah.
But then, to go into a mesh community, you have to go onto the console.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's very difficult for a child to do that.
And, I doubt this. Once you learned how to use that that terminal with all that gray or green on black letters you type in and you hit return and something happens, and
yeah,
that's a good thing to learn as well.
Of course, it's always good to learn something. I would like to lower the barrier,
yeah,
for participating in our mesh networks and in free networks, like really creating a free community platform, yeah, or mesh network.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I will look into the solution that the old PC has. I don't, yeah, know if you know
more
about it.
We don't know more about it yet, but there's one guy I would like to get here just now. One of the Austrians I talked about. I give the microphone to UFO to bridge just a minute until I get him here. Yeah, you have time. You said 1 hour and the hour is over.
So I can play some music and we have some minutes?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
No, right now he's coming.
Music?
Yeah, okay.
Just a song before?
Thank you.